turning your Bibles to Deuteronomy again. So Deuteronomy chapter 31. And what we're looking at here is just the importance of God's Word being a steady part of our lives. How important that is. This morning, we looked at how God, through the inspired Moses to write the instructions in Deuteronomy 17 for any future king of Israel. They were to not only make a copy of the law, but they were also to read the law, and it would bring them to a fear of the Lord, to keeping the words of the law to do them, resulting in humility of heart, obedience, and blessing. In Deuteronomy 31, we see an instruction for the leaders of Israel. And this is important, this plays out, because what we're going to see here in Deuteronomy and the instructions for those that are leaders in Israel, we see Jesus kind of addressing through the back door in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John with the Gospels. Because you understand that the Pharisees in the Gospels were the leaders of Israel. They were considered the religious leaders, at least, responsible for the morality and the ethics of God's people. And Jesus has many confrontations with them, doesn't he? And so what we're going to see here is we're going to see the instruction that God gives in his law for leaders. And then we're going to see how when God comes and faces those leaders face to face, man to man, Jesus, we're going to see the contrast. We're going to see the difference when the leaders are not following what God's law had said. And so Deuteronomy 31, let's look at verse 9. Deuteronomy 31, 9. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And verse 10, and Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. So what is the command to these elders, to the leaders, to the priests? Every 7 years, they were to take out this law, and they were to read it publicly before the people. Now, is this just the men? No. This is what? The men, the women, the children, and the strangers within the gates. Strangers are those that were not Jewish people, but they had come to live with and amongst the Jews. And so every 7 years there was to be this reminder. This is your compass, people of God. We read this, and this was the leaders, the elders' responsibility to do. Just by way of observation here, note what the purpose of it is, that they may hear, middle of verse 12, that they may learn, so it's hear, that they may learn, and that they may fear the Lord your God. Very similar things that we've talked about this morning. Now, just so we understand something about their culture, about their time, most of the leaders would have been educated and would have been able to read and to write. That wasn't necessarily true for all of the people. And so you see throughout the scriptures and throughout all the scriptures, really, the importance of the public declaration of God's law, the public speaking of it. You see here, it's a reading of it. Not everybody had a copy of the Torah. In those days, it was scrolls. And it would take several days for a scribe to make just one portion of it in a scroll. And so not every home would have these. And so in order for every home to be impacted by the truth of God's law, impacted by the truth of God's word, they were to have it read publicly to them. Now you see this continue throughout the Bible, even into the New Testament. The Jews would gather at the synagogues and they would have a reading from the scriptures. And Jesus, of course, he did that. We may get to that tonight. But this would be a responsibility of the elders. So to sum it up, the elders are responsible to remind God's people of God's law, to read it publicly before them. All of them, men, women, and children, and the strangers in the gates. With that in mind, just take a quick jump over to Exodus chapter 24. And you will see here in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 6, Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar, and he took the book of the covenant, and he read it in the audience of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord hath said, we will do and be obedient." And so Moses exemplifies this public reading in Exodus chapter 24. He commands it to this next generation in Deuteronomy chapter 31. This is something you are to do. And then what we see in Joshua, so we're going to turn in several places tonight. We go to Joshua, Joshua chapter 8. We see Joshua obeying this command. Joshua chapter 8, verse 34, "And afterward he read all the words of the law." Joshua 8, verse 34. "And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them." So we see Joshua obeying this command. He's a leader of the people of Israel. And here he obeys this command. Now what is interesting is when you get into the book of Judges, you see that the people walked with God until Joshua and all the elders had died. All those leaders that were with Joshua had died. And then the book of Judges has this cycle of they did what was right in their own eyes. And you begin to see this up and down cycle of sinfulness, captivity, or being under the oppression of an enemy, being delivered, sin, and it's just this big cycle. And why is this cycle happening? Why do you see that happening? I believe it's because these leaders of Israel have neglected God's law. And so therefore, if the leaders are neglecting God's law, if the leaders are not doing what God's law says and not bringing it before the people, what are they going to do? I mean, generation after generation, they're going to be ignorant of God's law. Because the leaders, the elders, are not bringing it before them. They're supposed to do this every 7 years. So, what's a point we can take from this? Is that a regular diet of God's law does us good. It does us good. It helps us. It reminds us of God's standard and God's truth. Now, for these folks, God's law, first five books of the Bible. But I believe we can say that this principle stands true for the entire Word of God for us today in the church. That a steady reminder of God's expectation as laid out in His Word, His expectation for us, will do us good, will do us well. You've experienced it, haven't you? when you've gone some time without exposing yourself to the Word of God? What happened? What goes on in your heart and in your spirit? Maybe you have a friend or someone who has just has had enough and has put the Bible aside and has not gone to church to hear the public declaration of God's Word. What happens? They begin to neglect God's commands, and they begin to live apart from God. Go to 2 Kings now. 2 Kings. I'm kind of doing a tour here, kind of chronicling the state of the leadership of God's people here. And 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. The context of this is Josiah. Josiah begins reigning as king when he was 8 years old. Anybody 8 years old here tonight? Anybody? We have one here. Are you 8, Ian? All right, could you imagine becoming a king of a nation at your age? I can't. Wow. Can you imagine? So Josiah, he becomes king. Now, is Josiah a good king or a bad king? If you look at his life, the majority of it, he's known as what? Thumbs up. Right? He's known as a king who obeyed God. Look at 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. And he read it. Go down to verse 11. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, verse 12, and Ahikim the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Ahaziah the servant of the king, saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. Look at verse 15. Go to 14. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Ahaziah, and went unto Hilda, the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikva, the son of Haras, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and they have might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard. Verse 19, Because thy heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and have rent your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather you unto your fathers, and you shall be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. What's happened here? They found the book of the law. It's almost as if you and I would walk into church one day and we would say, I finally found my Bible. Right? I finally found my guidebook for life. I finally found it. It's this the people have been neglected. They have been ignorant. It has laid in dust. And they've found it. And King Josiah, it was read before him, and he was humbled. And you hear what the prophetess has to say. Thus saith the Lord, you shall experience the curses. But because you, Josiah, have humbled yourself, you will go to your grave in peace. But it is a sad state, isn't it? A sad state for the people of Israel. They have been ignorant of God's law. In chapter 23, 2 Kings 23, and the king sent, verse 1, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. So what did he do? He must have read Deuteronomy 31. And he said, we've got to do this. And everybody gathered together, and he read the book of the law. At the end of chapter 23, verse 21, we read this. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. And surely there was not held such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah, but in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was held to the Lord in Jerusalem. What is that telling you? That tells me that the book of the law has been mostly neglected ever since the time of the judges. I don't believe it was completely neglected, but by the elders and the leaders, it seems like it had been. I believe David, if you read his Psalms, you look at his life, he must have been exposed and understood God's law. But you don't see this public reading taking place. We're not going to look at it, but Ezra, he reads the book of the law to all of Israel, to the remnant that returns after the exile. If you look at Nehemiah 8-10, chapters 8-10, you see Ezra the scribe reading the book of the law to the exiles, to the people, to the remnant that has come back after the exile. And so you keep seeing this. They keep coming back to this reading of God's law, and they keep coming back to it because they understand it's important, because God said it was important. So, coming to the New Testament, we see the leaders of Israel, commonly known as the Pharisees or the scribes, the chief priests. You read through the Gospels, you'll see those different terms, and I believe they are the people that are considered the leaders of the people of Israel. Now, Israel is not its own nation. They're a province underneath the emperor of Rome. And so, but you have these people who bear influence. And what does Jesus say to them? I counted, as I look through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least on 5 different occasions, he says, have you not read? Now he's confronting their understanding of the law and the fact that they may have read it, but they have missed the point. And that's the thrust behind the regular exposure of God's law, as we are regularly exposed to it. It will have its way, and it will point us to God. And in the Gospels, we see Jesus challenging these religious leaders because they have not read God's law to know God. They have read God's law to establish a religious system. And so there has been a perversion of what God's law had declared. And if you look in the Jewish history, they added many, many commandments to God's original law. And this became very laborious to God's people. And Jesus confronted them on this matter. In Matthew chapter 12, we can look there in Matthew chapter 12. In this passage, you see Jesus confronting them in the fact that, have you not read, you've missed the grace and the mercy of God in the midst of the law. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, your disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, this is Jesus, have you not read? That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Because if you look here, he's not saying necessarily that maybe they've never read the law. He's saying, have you not read it with an understanding or looking for the heart of God in this? Have you not read what David did? David, now that's a key name. That's a big name. Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? That's a reference back to 1 Samuel chapter 21. David and his men were weary and hungry, and they came to the priest who was in charge of the tabernacle. They needed food, and the priest had nothing but the bread on the table in the tabernacle. And that was to be for the priests and priests alone. But he gave it to David, and David ate and was nourished by it. And Jesus' point, what is it? Don't you see, Pharisees? Listen. You've got to, yes, read God's law, but don't miss me. Don't miss my character. What do we see there? We see grace, don't we? We see something, we see a mercy. We see, here you are hungry, and I have bread. Sure, you can eat it. It's not something regularly to practice and regularly do, but this is a situation we're going to take care of you. The grace and the mercy of God there. And look at verse 5. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Referring back to Numbers chapter 28. What do the priests do on a Sabbath day? Work. Sacrifices. What are you going to do with that, Pharisee? Verse 6. But I say unto you that in this temple and in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. So what's the point? It's God's law. God's law. It's God's law. Don't miss the grace and the mercy of God in the attempt to make some system. Matthew 19, the Pharisees are asking Jesus questions about divorce and marriage. And in Matthew 19, the same stance by Jesus is taken. Verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him. So they're testing him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Jesus' response, have you not read? Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Aren't you missing God's original design of marriage? You're just leaping right over top of that. Have you not read? You see in verse 8 or verse 7, they ask him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement to put her away? Now they're going to pull out Moses and that big name. And Jesus said, Moses wrote this because of the hardness of your hearts. You folks are missing what sin has, you miss what sin has done. The effect that sin has upon God's design, upon God's marriage, upon marriage. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 16, we see this. And Jesus said unto him, I'm sorry, not Jesus, the scribe, the chief priests and the scribes, this is right after the cleansing of the temple and after his triumphant entry, the children are crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David. The scribes and chief priests were very unhappy, sore displeased, it says. Verse 16, and they said unto him, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, yes. Have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings you have perfected praise? Have you not read? You're missing your chance. It's babes and children giving praise to the Messiah. You're missing your chance. Matthew 21, later, verse 41, they said unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits of their seasons. Background is Jesus is sharing a parable, a story here. He is directly confronting them through this parable, very similar to what Nathan did with David. Okay? Nathan tells him this great story, and he drew David right in. It was, you know, hook, line, and sinker. Boom. And Jesus does the same with these Pharisees. Draws them right into the story to the point that their response is he's going to destroy, the husband's going to destroy the wicked men. He will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Yeah, that's right. Well, verse 42, Jesus says unto them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And that happened. Gentiles. You know, see, it happened. And in the scriptures and in the Psalms speak of this. And speak of the stone which the builders rejected, that is Jesus, is being rejected. That same stone will become the head of the corner, the most important stone in the entire building, in the foundation. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This was part of their scriptures. And Jesus is saying, didn't you read this in your word, in your scriptures? You're missing the point. You're living exactly what the psalmist said. This is you. I am the head of the corner. And then in chapter 22, verse 31, he's talking with Sadducees now, and this was another sect of religious leaders. They didn't believe in the resurrection, but interesting, their question has everything to do with the resurrection. They're asking about marriage in the resurrection. Jesus' response in verse 29, so Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, you have not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." You see, we can get so caught up in the intricacies and details that we miss the author. And here Jesus is bringing that out for these men. Yes, you don't believe in the resurrection. You must not know the Scriptures. Because Jesus, when he confronted Moses, introduced himself as, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." It is very clear that Jesus is making this point. God did not introduce himself as, "I was the God." He said, "I am the God." What does that say? That says at the time of Moses, at least at the time of Moses, we know it is for eternity, but at least the time of Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were alive. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So if they are alive, what do you have to say about no resurrection? So there's a lot of different things that we could say concerning that. But the point of the matter is that he is the God of the living. He is not the God of the dead. So what do we do with all this? First of all, we see the importance of a regular, steady diet of God's Word. Its effect, righteous living and obedience. It will have its way. And the public reading and declaration of the Scriptures were important to the people of God. God declared it to be such. And we should look at it that same way. One of the reasons why gathering together regularly as a church is important. And that is it is important that the Scriptures be a centerpiece of our time together. We also see and understand that as we read God's Word, we must not miss the God of the Word. Don't miss Him. Lord, I thank You for this time and this teaching that You have shared with us through Your Word, and I thank You that we can stand upon it. And thank You, Lord, for the blessing of having Your Word, and that we can be regularly exposed to it. I thank You for Your people that have chosen to come tonight and to be together. And Lord, would You encourage them on their way as they go and give them a blessed week. In Jesus' name, amen.